Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, our focus this morning will be in the first 12 verses. Verses 1 through 12, this is God's word. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus. And he said to his attendants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead. That is why miraculous powers are at work in him." Now, Herod had arrested John and bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For John had been saying to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people because they considered him a prophet. On Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for them and pleased Herod so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist." The king was distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he ordered that her request be granted and had John beheaded in the prison. His head was brought in on a platter and given to the girl, who carried it to her mother. John's disciples came and took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Now, the first thing I want you to see in this passage is that there's an issue of time sequence, because we're going back now in time to look at what had happened leading up to this. It says, at that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus and said to his attendants, "This is John the Baptist. He's risen from the dead. That is why miraculous powers are at work in him." So what follows in the next couple of paragraphs is the story of how John died and why Herod would have a guilty conscience and fear that John has come back to life, because Herod knew that God is real, that God is stronger than death, and that what he had done was wrong. So let's talk for a moment about Herod, because he's an instructive character. Here was a fellow who knew that there was such a thing as right and wrong. We have foolish people running around in our society trying to insist that there's no such thing as right and wrong. This is a ludicrous position, because many of the people who say it try and argue that it's wrong for people to say otherwise. Now, ponder that a moment. How ridiculous is it to say it's wrong of you to try and impose this view, because ultimately there is no right and wrong? What have they just done? They've imposed their view, saying that what we're doing is wrong. That's insanity. You don't have to be very bright or very mature in order to see that it makes no sense. When a person says there are no absolutes, they've just stated an absolute. Okay? So it is ludicrous for people to take such a view, and yet our society is filled with that sort of nonsense. People who absolutely refuse to tolerate intolerance. They are angry if someone tries to say this is wrong. They say that's wrong of you to say it's wrong. I mean, insanity. Absolute insanity. What I want you to see is that as wicked as Herod was, he wasn't that crazy. Because Herod did wrong, but at least he had a conscience. He at least knew that what he was doing was wrong. And I want you to know that the people who are talking about intolerance and the people who are talking about there being no right and wrong, they know in their hearts that that's not true. They know it's not so. As Francis Schaeffer, I think it was, observed, and I think C.S. Lewis also, steal their bicycle and see if they believe in right and wrong. Somebody takes their parking space at the apartment and they fly off the handle. That's my spot. Because nobody believes there's no such thing as right and wrong in their heart of hearts. Everybody knows better. God has wired it into us. And that's one of the arguments for the existence of God, philosophically, is the fact that we all have innately, everywhere on the planet, a sense of right and wrong. We don't all agree on the details, but everybody is hardwired to have a sense of injustice. That should not be so. Herod had done wrong, but at least he knew that there is a God, and that that God is more powerful than men. And that God even has power over death. And that's why he now feared John had come back to life and was now doing these miracles. That was Herod's fear. So please get that. The fact that Herod was a wicked man doesn't make him somehow worse than what is rampant in our culture. Herod had arrested John and bound him and put him in prison. Why? Because of Herodias. He was egged on to do this by the woman he was living with, who was his brother's wife. Is that okay? No, it's not okay. His brother was still living, but now she's living with Herod. This brings up another thing that has to do with our culture today. A lot of people feel that all that really matters is what's in your heart. If you find someone attractive and you want to express your affection for them or your attraction to them by having sexual relations with them, well, go ahead. All love is the same. It's all beautiful. Just do what feels right to you. Herod and his sister-in-law were an item. Is that okay? Absolutely not. Well, hold on. Suppose she hadn't been married to his brother. She'd been married to somebody else. Is it okay for Herod and some other man's wife to get together and be an item? Is that okay? No. It's called adultery. Let me tell you something, folks. God invented sex. God did. And I hope all, even of our new students, have now memorized what you're supposed to memorize. Let's see if we can say it together. Sex is designed by God to be an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. Well, suppose it was Herod and a single woman that he was planning on marrying. Is it okay then for them to have relations? No, they're not married yet. You wait until you're married. You understand? If people would do that, there would not be any children born out of wedlock. What kind of culture would we have if the only children born were born to married couples? Would that solve a lot of the problems? Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, so let's talk for a minute about children born into other kinds of situations. If a child is born because the parents had relations before they were married, does that make that child a bad child? Not at all. Is that child somehow guilty because the parents weren't married? Not at all. The child didn't do something. The parents did something. But I want you to understand something. As you grow up, sex is designed by God to be an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. These two weren't married. She was married to somebody else. But she thought Herod was really great. And John preached about it. John didn't just say, thou shalt not commit adultery. John said, our ruler, Herod, is flagrantly violating God's law by having relations with his brother's wife. They're living together as if they were married when she's married to his brother. That is a horrible violation of God's law. And she said, are you going to let him talk that way about us? Who does he think he is? Well, I say, if you really love me, you're going to have him arrested. And you're going to put him in prison. Because I don't want him out there talking about us like that. It's demeaning. It's disrespectful. So he says, all right, I'll deal with it. I'll have that man arrested. And so they go out and they arrest him and they bring him and they put him in prison. And she wants him dead, but Herod respects John. But Herod is troubled by John. He's very conflicted. The reason he had not killed John up to this point is because he feared the people. The guy is the ruler of a fourth of the kingdom. He's the tetrarch, referred to commonly by the people as the king, because he lived like a king and he acted like a king. He's the ruler over this region, but he's afraid of the people. And he's afraid of his sort of wife. Should have feared God. Should have been concerned about what God says. Instead, he was worried about what other people said. You want a recipe for a disastrous life? Fear other people instead of God. You will absolutely make bad choice after bad choice after bad choice.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So Herod, with John in prison, throws a party. John's in prison. Herod is having a party. And he's got a bunch of guests. And he's got a bunch of booze. You want another recipe for making bad decisions? Drink alcohol. Somehow, when you drink alcohol, it impairs your judgment. That's why you're not a good driver. It's not just reflexes. It's you make stupid decisions. Now, it's also reflexes, but it's also judgment. Your judgment is impaired. How did you get into that situation?
Well, honestly, I'd had a little too much to drink.
You just make bad decisions. A lot of people get in trouble sexually when they've been drinking. A lot of people get in trouble financially when they've been drinking. Herod was drinking. He was partying. And in the midst of his drinking, he called for his girlfriend's daughter to do a dance. And she danced. She danced very seductively. Anybody ever watch like the music award shows and that kind of stuff? See some of the stuff that goes on stage? Anybody ever watch music videos? You know, ever watch stuff like that? Do you ever get the impression that these people aren't just doing music? They're trying to seduce folks? If you get that impression, you're correct. A lot of times the music isn't that great, but the dancing is very seductive. It's very sexually charged. It's designed to be. And our culture sits there and consumes it like Herod and his guests. And I'm telling you something, that is not a good diet. You understand? That is not good stuff. That's not the way you want to dance. And it's not what you want to watch. And if you young ladies and you young gentlemen think that in order to dance, you've got to look like Beyonce and her crew, you need to know that ain't so. If your dance moves simulate copulation, your dance moves are lewd. Is that clear? All the grinding and that stuff, not okay. All the twerking and that stuff, not okay. Not okay. That's the kind of stuff that this gal was doing. Not okay. Not okay. You're not supposed to be imitating that. It's just not okay. And in the music, I had to turn off the Christian radio station yesterday because some of the Christian artists want to sound like they're in the midst of having sexual relations. Because that's what the public wants, apparently, and that's what the producers want, and that's what these artists have learned to do. And so they sound as if they're doing something that ought to be private between a husband and a wife. But it's okay because they're giving praise to God in the midst of it. No. No, not okay. Not appropriate. Not helpful. We live in a culture that is saturated with sex, and the message that is being promoted, not only in the world, but sadly in many churches, is that as long as what you're doing is meaningful for you and you don't hurt somebody, then it's okay. Not true. Sex is designed by God to be an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. If Herod had known that, he wouldn't have killed John the Baptist. If he'd obeyed that, I should say, he wouldn't have killed John the Baptist. It's not enough to know what's right. You've got to do what's right. He wouldn't have killed him because he wouldn't have been in that mess. Now he's at a party, and his girlfriend's daughter does a dance that gets him all hot and bothered, and he is so worked up. He says, I'll give you anything you want, up to half my kingdom. What do you have? She says, just a minute. Mom, what should I ask for? He says, he'll give me anything up to half the kingdom. What should I ask for? Mom says, ask him for the head of John the Baptist on a plate. I mean, do you understand that this was a very, very, very wicked person? But the daughter comes back and she says, give me the head of John the Baptist on a plate. And Herod is grieved. He doesn't want to do that. But he does it. because he made oaths, plural. He had promised and promised and said, I'll give you anything. Be very careful what kind of commitments you make. Be very careful what you say, because your words will come back. So Herod sends down into the prison for the executioner to cut off John's head, put it on a plate, give it to the girl. And they give it to her. If you would feel comfortable handling a dead person's head on a plate, you are sick. You understand that? She was a sick, twisted individual, and that's why she could receive that and take it to her mom. Let me tell you, that's happening right now in our world. Christians are having their heads chopped off by people who say that their God is great. It's happening right now. Children are being taught to kill Christians. It's happening right now. This is not ancient history. This is a window on the heart of man, which is deceitfully wicked beyond knowing. We live in a world where there are still people like this in great numbers. And so don't distance yourself from it. Realize it's happening now. Christians are being killed, martyred for their faith. So, John's disciples heard about what had happened. And they came and they took his body and they buried it. And then they went and told Jesus. Two more points. Number one, they did what they could and went and told Jesus. What do you do if something horrible has happened? Disaster has struck. Somebody you love has died. If you're in a painful situation, if you've been through something that is distressing, go talk to Jesus. That is a smart thing to do. That is the right thing to do. Whatever you're going through, he'll understand. You may not know how to put it into words. Well, just go cry to Jesus. Because Jesus knows what's going on. He understands. He has compassion on you. And you can talk to him about anything. Because he knows all about you. And he loves you more than you can imagine. So there were two more points. That was one. Here's the other. John the Baptist did the right thing. But it got him killed. Still did the right thing. But if he would have just, you know, I mean, he could have just preached sermons about adultery being wrong. He didn't have to single out Herod, the ruler. He didn't have to speak against the government. Don't say something that's going to get you in trouble with the law. Don't use hate speech, which is what some call it today if you preach the Bible. You're going to end up in jail. You might end up dead. Much better to obey God and lose your life for it than to fear the people and not obey God. He put it all on the line. John the Baptist was not unwise. He was wise. He did the right thing. And even though it cost him his life, today we see Herod as the one who's the loser. John the Baptist is a hero. Don't be afraid to do the right thing, even if it costs you greatly.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.